Welcome to Scrappy ABM, your source for groundbreaking approaches that don't break the bank. ABM shouldn't cost $200K in tech to even get started. So if you want to get started with ABM or make your program even better without investing a massive amount of money, you're in the right place. Each week, we'll hear from the brightest minds in the marketing world who are redefining ABM, achieving incredible results with untraditional methods, limited resources, and a whole lot of creativity. This isn't a show about how much money you can spend on fancy tech or overhyped tools. Instead, it's about celebrating creative problem solving and the scrappiness it takes to get ABM right. We'll dive into how these marketing leaders built robust ABM strategies with limited resources, revealing the actionable insights that led to their biggest wins. So if you're a marketer ready to challenge the status quo and build a scalable, efficient, effective marketing strategy, Scrappy ABM is the show for you. So if you're ready to discover ABM strategies that are lean, impactful, and utterly transformative, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your practical podcast with playbooks that don't break the bank. Today I'm joined by Jess Cook, who is the head of content and comms at Island, and I must say, has an incredible podcast of That's Marketing Baby. So Jess, thank you so much for joining me today. Been a huge fan, excited to dig into it.
Oh, likewise, Mason. So glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
And I'm also going to make fun of myself for a second because I realized the second I pressed record, my podcast voice kicked in like instantaneously. So like I'm hearing my, anyway.
I get it. You got to do that. There's like, you got to turn on the showman, you know?
Oh yeah. So speaking of podcast voices and podcasting, again, Jess, you've been running That's Marketing Baby for quite a minute. And what we're going to dig into today is really a pretty incredible playbook around how do you actually give somebody an incredible experience at your target accounts using a podcast. So with that, Jess, could you just kind of give us the high level of your Scrappy ABM playbook?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just to tell you why it makes sense for us, to give you a little background. So Island is a category creator in a category called the enterprise browser. It's exactly what it sounds like. So when you're at work, you know, right now, most people are using some sort of consumer browser. And, you know, those were not built for work. They have to be surrounded by all kinds of security and tech and compliance and identity management kind of tools and layers to work for work. And Island and the founders of Island saw that as an opportunity of like, there is a need here for a browser that has all of that built in already. And it's the first of its kind. And with that comes a lot of education, a lot of trust building, and a lot of understanding how current customers are already using it. Like, what are all of the ways that it can be used? What did you replace in order to get to kind of build this into your tech stack? How did people adopt it? Do they like it? Do they miss their old browser? Like, what was the change management like, right? There's just a ton of education. And it felt to us like the best way to do that would be coming from our customers and not necessarily from us. Obviously, we're putting content out there because that's just what you do. You want to provide value to anyone who's interested in potentially, you know, looking at you as a prospective tool. But we thought it would just build trust so much faster if we could get our customers out there talking about their story and what they're doing that's interesting as, you know, a CIO or a CISO, head of IT, and how Island was a part of that. So the playbook that we run is what I'm calling the rockstar treatment. And calling it that because that's kind of how we're trying to elevate our customers into that rockstar level. And to do that, we got them, a number of them on some very far-reaching, you know, C-level listenership podcasts to talk about what they're doing in their organizations. And obviously that includes Island and how that has changed things for them. So, you know, kind of a customer advocacy play, but maybe with a little bit of a different spin on it.
No, and I love that. And I'm just thinking through with my own business. I've had a number of customers that have gone on podcasts and they'll tell me after, hey, by the way, I went on the show and we sang your praises. And I'm just thinking through specifically if I were to help my customers land on like B2B marketing podcasts, they would likely just talk through the work that we were doing. And like, there's that sense of reciprocity. Cause like, oh, Mason got me here. Like, I should mention him and like, thank him by being on the show. That's a genius play. And I'm confident you're not like telling anybody like, hey, mention Island. It's just, again, that natural sense of reciprocity. Like, you got me here. I want to give you credit and give you thanks for the work that you've done to get me here.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of it is working through like what the narrative's going to be and like, you know, don't want the whole story to be about Island, obviously, but a good portion of it. And like, how has that changed things? And what were you doing before? And, you know, what has that changed for your users? And just trying to cover all of the bases of the questions that we know, you know, new buyers might come to the table with.
Yeah. So again, it sounds like you're actually working with the people that you're helping line up to craft their narrative, to help them understand. Are you doing that for, and I'll give quick context. We did like a lot of podcast outreach to help we had a client that literally was like, I want to get on more podcasts. Like, I've not done a ton. Mason, you run a podcast business. Can you help me get on more shows? And I was like, absolutely. And I did a ton of like show outreach, but because they had not been on shows previously, like, they were a harder guest to get on because they were like, what other shows are they? So like, are you helping to craft the narrative because they may not be as like prolific of podcast guests? Or is it like, what's the rationale behind helping them craft that narrative?
Yeah. So part of actually the selection of these customers is, you know, making sure they're a big enough name that people, one, have at least heard of before, or are in an industry that has a lot of relevance, right? So for Island specifically. So there's a lot of healthcare customers, let's say, that could come to us, and we have a lot of great use cases for healthcare. So I wanted to make sure we were checking the right boxes. And part of that was making sure that whoever we chose was very comfortable on camera, had maybe even done some podcasts before, kind of understood the, you know, the whole spiel and like what they needed to do when they got on. So that was kind of a consideration when we were looking at these customers and how we wanted to select the right folks.
No, that's super smart. So again, that's the high level is, again, this rock star experience. And I even think about kind of Terminus in their heyday, they did have something called the Terminus Rockstars. And it's just like, how do you showcase your incredible customers? So again, we thought about it from that perspective. As far as like where it falls in the funnel, I imagine this is a great retention and expansion play because you're like showcasing how much you love working with these people, but also clearly it's like awareness building and pipeline acceleration. So it kind of fits in all categories. I'm curious, as you think through, I mean, obviously this is a largely content play, like, do you have any kind of a framework or a structure for how you help your customers form their narrative? So those people are going to think through the content strategy. They've got some guidance and direction.
Yeah. So we're sitting down with them and really like crafting out the questions and understanding, you know, kind of what might be asked and again, making sure that like Island is just part of the focus. But, you know, I'm always looking for like, I've done my research on them. I know how they're using Island. That is helping me inform some of the questions that, you know, we're trying to prep them with, and making sure that we can get like those really fire sound bites. Because at the end of the day, this is, like you said, this is a video content play.
Yeah.
I'm going to be able to get clips out of this that I can repurpose in my spaces. My customer is going to be able to push those out into his or her spaces. And then the podcast is also going to be pushing those out into their channels as well. So it's really like a three-pronged distribution approach that really allows us to get like maximum ears and eyeballs and people hearing about us and knowing who we are. And a lot of that has to do with, again, like that selection of who we're going for. So like making sure that we're working on like getting three customers on a podcast, it's like each of them is a different vertical. Each of them has a slightly different use case, right? So we can kind of maximize the gamut of what we're talking about across all three.
No, that's super smart. And again, I'm just thinking through, in the context of relationship building, what I found is that my target accounts are generally friends with my target accounts.
Yeah.
So like the industries are pretty small in general and all the players know each other. So when, you know, when one executive at a customer posts
about the content that they've created, it generally gets seen by your other target accounts because they're also in the same network keeping tabs on either their competitor or like adjacent technologies. So it just seems like a huge opportunity for maximum distribution.
And I think just to follow up on that, that's part of why we don't want them to only talk about Island. We also want them to be able to share just really insightful, like how I am building, you know, modern IT at this company that I'm at, right? Because that builds up their credibility. And then when they say something about Island, it's like, oh, this person is smart. They know what they're doing. And they're using this tool. Like they're using this enterprise browser. I need to check that out. Like this all jives. And I need to know more about that.
Super smart. So again, I've done a fair number of podcast tours, and like, it's a super labor intensive process to find all the shows and to do the outreach. So I'm just curious, like, how are you curating your list of shows and then actually doing the outreach to get your customers on these shows?
Great question. So we have a PR agency who's been pretty critical in this endeavor, vetting shows for us, you know, making sure we're getting on shows that have the right listeners at the right, you know, job titles and levels and things like that. But the other part of this, honestly, is like, where else can we use these customers in this story? We do a ton of events at Island. And there are plenty of opportunities to bring customer speakers into those events. So like, can we, hey, we know now that they're open to speaking about us, that they're very, you know, they're charismatic, they're great speakers. They're saying all the right things. And why not bring these same folks into the, kind of the event circuit with us? Like, you know, if they're in the Southeast region, are there two or three events that we might be able to, you know, pay for them to come out to and share their story there? So for us, it's actually more of finding the right story and then finding many, you know, it started with kind of podcasts. But then like, what other opportunities do we already have lined up, whether it's a podcast or, you know, an event or, you know, a webinar or something like that, where we can bring them on and they can share that very same story to a new audience.
Yeah. At a former company, we did a lot of events and we try to pull in customers as much as we can. And we ended up actually creating a spreadsheet that was called the Speaker Bureau. And it was, we've had people speak. Sounds like you're just building a great speaker bureau to continue to pull from. That is, these people are trusted, they're vetted, they've got great stories, they're charismatic, they're relatable. Like I've found that the more I've done any level of speaking, like it's actually less how tactical and insightful the content is. Like that's necessary. But the reason people like the session is it's not only tactical and informative, but also I'm relatable as a human being.
Yeah.
Like I talk about my family, I talk about my daughter. Let me tell you, building an ABM agency that's all focused on the crawl stage while having a daughter that's like 8 months old. Oh, the analogies make themselves. So like the relatability factors.
Yeah.
It's game over when she starts walking. It's going to be, anyway, all that to say, that relatability factor of you're clearly an expert, but I also just like you as a person. Like I enjoyed listening to you. It's kind of difficult to quantify that until you've just done it a couple times.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So again, we've got a couple of really tactical components that we've walked through. What I'm going to get into now is more the roadblocks. Like this is everything we talk about is actually relatively simple in theory, but it's always very difficult in implementation. So I'm curious, like what were the roadblocks you guys experienced as you built out this program?
I think the biggest roadblock is finding customers who are willing to go on the record on video and say they use your technology, especially because we are a cybersecurity, productivity, you know, part of the IT stack. And that makes it difficult for people to like, there is some risk there in talking about like, yes, we use Island, right? Like you are exposing, some of that. I think that is actually a testament to the product of just like they're very confident in its security and its ability to keep the company secure and safe. So I think that's actually a really, really nice testament to the customers that are willing to go out there and talk about us. There are some, you know, there are some Fortune 100 companies, like their policy is just not to talk about those things. And so it gets difficult sometimes to find, you know, the right partner for that. So really what I did was I built like my wish list, like my top 15 customers, household names, right? That like people would be like, oh, wow, I want to listen to, you know, the head of IT at that company talk about what they're doing. And I went down the list. I work with the sales team. I work with customer success. We talked about like, okay, well, you know, before we even made the ask, it was like, what's their use case? Are we in good standing with them? Are they happy with us right now? Right. Sometimes you're in the middle of like an expansion deal and you're like, don't touch it yet. We're still working on that. So you have to work really closely with like internal teams who are close to that customer to figure out if it's at the right time. So there was a lot of that, just kind of figuring out like who was the right next person to ask. And then it was really just kind of knocking them down from there, going down the list, getting a no, getting a yes. Okay, awesome. Let's get them going. Let's move on to the next person on the list, right? So that has taken some time and will continue to take time because it's been a good program for us so far. And we'll just continue to, you know, work down the list and then get new customers and they'll see value in the product and then we'll start working on them. So it is a bit of a lot of wait and then hurry up because, you know, they're ready and they're happy and let's do something with them. But I think that's been the toughest roadblock so far. And really it just takes, you know, you just keep moving, right? Like you can't like, just be like, well, this isn't going to work. Cause there will be customers that say yes. And they'll be the right mix of, you know, the right use case, the right industry vertical, like you'll find them. You just have to keep going.
Yeah. And again, I love when you said, I'm going to build my dream list of customers. You said 15, not 500 or 50.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's not a massive list. It's like, if I can get 3 customers on shows this quarter, like that's a win. And I just think helping people to recognize it doesn't have to be massive. It can start small.
It can start very small. You can start with 5. I mean, I started with 15 because I was like drooling over, you know, all the possibilities of our customers. but maybe even that was big, right? Like start with 5 and see if you can get any of them and then move on from there. One thing that was really helpful for me because I knew I wanted to check a lot of boxes and get like a really nice wide swath of, you know, different verticals, different use cases, you know, somebody in technology, somebody in healthcare, somebody in retail, whatever. And so I started my list and I organized them by industry because what I didn't want to happen was have like, you know, 3 hospitality customers show up on the same podcast, right? It's always great when a customer can talk about you, but if you can really get, you know, a great range of the different types of things they're able to talk about, that's even better. So that would be like a suggestion if this is kind of a program that you want to go after is like start with either use case or industry vertical, like start with kind of the thing that differentiates how your customers are using you and start there so that you can get a really nice tapestry of customers out there talking about you.
Yeah, I love it. We talk about any ABM program should either be problem specific or vertical specific. And ideally it's a mix of the two. So use case is really what problem are we solving? So I love that.
Yeah.
Final couple of questions here. You know, we talked through podcasts that then potentially leads into a speaker bureau. Like I'm curious, especially given your background as being a content queen, like how else are you using a lot of this content to get a larger distribution?
Yeah. So, we will be using some of this in paid. We'll have, you know, clips that we can use that, you know, we can use in video ads or pre-roll. I'm also very excited to kind of see how customers answer similar questions and kind of like create little medleys of, you know, kind of either, you know, how are you doing? You know, what does security look like with Island? And then we have a number of customers answering that, being able to use content like that. We have a number of, you know, organic channels that we can use them in that are under my purview. So our newsletter, social, the website, obviously, something I'm very excited about is being able to go back into some of our, you know, recent-ish blog posts or best performing blog posts and kind of support them with a clip from one of these customers, right? So, you know, somebody talking about zero, you know, the blog's about zero trust. And then here's how, you know, Island customer X enforces zero trust with the enterprise browser, right? And so just some really nice like backup and fodder and support for current content, I think, is really important. The sales team is also just like so hungry for this stuff. Hmm. Like, hey, you know, healthcare prospect, let me show you how this other healthcare company on island is using us and thinking about IT and maybe a little bit different way. So, you know, here's a great podcast episode that you can listen to with one of our customers. So tons of distribution opportunities. And again, it, you know, when the episodes actually go live, you have kind of that three-pronged approach at the start, right? Like, we're putting it out there, the podcast entity is putting it out there, the customer is putting it out there in their own personal channels. So you start off with a really, really nice, you know, shotgun effect.
Yeah.
And then you can just repurpose from there, which is awesome.
And I love the call it around. Essentially, this is functioning as sales enablement. And I've seen a lot of sellers talk through using third-party resources to validate your claims builds greater trust because they're not pushing the same brand narrative. They're just pushing something that is true. So when you have a third-party podcast channel that validates what you are also claiming and it comes from the mouth of a customer, like, it only builds that much more trust that you are who you say you are.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. Final question for you. Again, we've talked through a ton of really practical playbooks as it relates specifically to kind of a podcast customer tour and giving that rock star experience. I'm curious, though, like, is there anything else you want to share with people around building an ABM program and kind of getting that ABM program off the ground?
Oh, boy. I will say at Island, we are not quite in a point where we're doing ABM, like, as I feel like it's defined in the current market, right? I think this is as close as we've gotten using our customers as that trusted third party to say, hey, you know, relevant and related, you know, prospects out there, this is how we're doing it, right? And I think this will help us as we continue to grow. We start to, you know, right now we're very horizontally focused because we're a smallish team. But as we, you know, start to build up those, you know, hey, here's all of the use cases for each vertical on our website. Each one has a dedicated page, right? Like, we can start to pull that, all of this work into there. So I think kind of starting out at that high level, like industry, customer advocacy is like a really nice start to an ABM program, right? You can see what works, see what resonates, the way people are talking about things in each industry vertical, the use cases that they're talking about more. And that will help you know, like, when you get to the point where you're like ready to go for, you know, real actual ABM, like, okay, these are our power pieces of content for X vertical, Y vertical, Z vertical, and you can really dig in from there.
Yeah, specifically that point around starting ABM with your customer base, I couldn't agree more. Generally speaking, when you look at ABM, the most difficult part is understanding the data of, like, how do we know that this is the right time to reach out? How do we know these are the right people? And with your customer base, you have the best data of anything you will ever have. So really love that call out. Jess, thank you so much for joining me today. If you want to find out more about you and Island, where would you point them?
You can go to LinkedIn. I'm pretty active there. That's how we have connected, before. I feel like I know you already, which is awesome. Island is there as well. That's kind of our big channel is LinkedIn. And like you mentioned earlier, I also have a podcast called That's Marketing Baby. It's, on all of the podcast, you know, platforms, and it's, me and my marketing bestie, Susan Winograd, and she's on the paid side. I'm on the organic content side. And we just kind of, you know, shoot the breeze on all things marketing, whatever we feel like talking about. It's a lot of fun.
Heck yeah. Well, Jess, thank you again for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM. We'll see you in the next one. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Scrappy ABM. If you enjoyed this week's episode, go ahead and give us a follow so that you don't miss a single episode. We drop every single Monday so that you can start your week off right. And if you're looking for additional great content just like this, go check out scrappyabm.com. We're building a library of frameworks, guides, templates, processes, and tools so you have everything that you need to build a low-budget, high-impact, scrappy program. Again, thank you for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. This has been your host, Mason Cosby, and we look forward to seeing you in the next one.